I'll ask you to remain standing for the Word of God this morning. Our text for this morning is John chapter 15, the next in the series, That You May Be One. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 17. Please turn with me in your Bibles or take a pew Bible. And Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you so that you will love one another. Lord Jesus Christ, it is to your word that we go this morning. It is to your teaching. We receive it with joy. We receive it as the truth. We pray now, Lord, that you would speak to us by it, and that we might abide. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. We have been making our way this fall season, beginning in September, through Christ's final teaching before he goes to his passion to be delivered up into the hands of angry men and crucified for the sins of the world. And in these chapters, these four or five chapters in the Gospel of John, Jesus is giving his final instructions, known as the farewell discourse. When I put this sermon series together over the summer, I was drawn to Christ's high priestly prayer in John chapter 17, where he prays for the church, he prays for the disciples, and he prays that they might be one. It didn't occur to me until later that the portion of John's gospel where Jesus is giving his final instructions was known by theologians and scholars as the farewell discourse. And when I discovered that, I was a bit nervous and did not prepare myself or was not prepared to enter into my own farewell discourse. But nevertheless, that's where we find ourselves. As I've been contemplating the text for this morning, I wanted to be faithful to the text, and still do, but I did not feel, given the circumstances of this week, that I could exposit the text for you as I normally do. And so, as I was searching my mind and praying before the Lord as to what to say this morning, I had a settled peace from the Lord in which I determined to read the text, be faithful to the text, and to share with you my heart and what I hear in the text. Jesus is speaking. He's teaching the disciples. He's encouraging them. He's commanding them to abide. And he encourages the disciples to abide in three ways. Three ways that I want to highlight for you and share a few thoughts. The first thing that Jesus says to the disciples is, abide in me. Abide in Christ. And when I was growing up as a young man in the church and in the faith, and the particular tradition in which I was raised, I came to believe that what Jesus really wanted from me and what he wants from you is a personal relationship. And that's true. You and I are called by God through the Lord Jesus Christ to enter into a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not a matter of you having or not having a personal relationship, but the question is, what kind of a relationship do you have? And so, more particularly, what I came to see is that God was calling me into right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I have endeavored as a preacher to call men and women to right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And today, you have the opportunity to examine your life. What is your relationship with Jesus like? How are you abiding with him? As I grew, I came not only to accept the call for a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, which I embraced and grew in and enjoyed, but I quickly went off the path because I came to believe the common misconception that all that was required of me was just me and Jesus. Abide with me, Jesus said. And I said, sure thing. That sounds great. That is all I need. In fact, that is all that I want. And I endeavored to do something. I made a mistake. I came to believe that all that was necessary for my life was a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and I didn't need the church. Even though Jesus said, I am the head of the church, abide in me, I fell into that common misconception that I don't need the church. In fact, I became disillusioned with the church, angry with the church. I came to believe that the church was a necessary evil. It was something that God put up with until he was going to come back in glory and call me to himself, and I would enjoy an eternity with just me and Jesus. And so I left the church for 4 years. I was unfaithful. I was later confronted by the chaplain at Geneva College, who confronted me with the truth and said, "Nate, what you're doing is not right. You cannot claim that you love Jesus and deny his bride. You cannot claim that you have Jesus and deny his body. You must be reconciled with the church." And so began a long and difficult process by which God called me back and brought me into not only right relationship with him as the head, but he brought me into right relationship with his body, the church. And the temptation before me, and perhaps the temptation before you this morning, is to be angry at the church. Give up on the church, to deny the church. But Jesus would say, and he says to us in our text for this morning, abide in me. And if we are to abide in Christ, then we cannot give up on the church. Don't give up on the church. Love Christ, love his body, love his people, love his bride, love his church. Jesus said, abide in me. Secondly, he said, abide in my love. And how do we do that? How do we abide in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, thankfully, he makes it absolutely crystal clear so that we can know. Here's how we know if we love Jesus. Jesus said, "You will keep my commandments." You will keep them. And as I shared with you last week, and again, Jesus says it in our text this morning, it's not just a matter of obedience. Yes, Christ calls us to obedience. He requires our obedience. But the word that he speaks to the disciples, the word that he speaks to us today is keep my commandments, guard my commandments, defend my commandments, fight for obedience, fight for the truth. For there will be temptations in this world. There will be opportunities in this world to turn aside, to capitulate, to bend the knee, even as Polycarp, the great martyr of the church, was called in by the Roman leadership, Roman guard taken into the Colosseum and told, "Burn a little incense to Caesar. What will it harm you? Bend the knee." For 87 years, Polycarp said, "I have followed Christ and he has done me no wrong. How can I turn my back on him now?" Guard. Keep. Abide in Christ and show him that you love him by keeping his commandments. Not the commandments of men, but the commandments of Christ. And finally, Christ says in our text for this morning, "My desire is that your fruit might abide." Abide in me, Jesus says. Abide in my love in order that your fruit might abide. And what is Jesus saying to us? He is saying your character is eternal. Who you are and who God has made you to be will transcend death and stand in the very presence of Almighty God. And what will you have to show him? What will you present before Christ on that great and terrible day? What will you show him that you have done with your life? Character is eternal, and it matters. I have called you that your fruit might abide eternally. Earlier this week, I was called delusional by someone associated with the congregation who knew what was transpiring and shared an email with some in the church and said, Nate is delusional. And I've thought about that statement, that comment, and what I would do with it. And what the Lord has brought me to again and again and again is that his commandment for me, for us, for the church, is that we might have fruit that abides. And so he says to us, this is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to be. You are called to bear my name. You are called to be a Christian. And so you will bless and not curse. You will rejoice and not mourn. You will walk by faith and not by sight. Let no root of bitterness find its place in your heart. You are called to be Christians. You are called to abide in Christ. You are called to abide in his love. You are called to abide with eternal fruit, a life of godly character that will transcend death. And if we allow bitterness to take root, then we will be prohibited from becoming all that God has called us to be, all that Christ died in order that we might walk into the fullness of all that he has for us. And so there is no room for bitterness. Do not let it take root in your heart. Bless. Bless and do not curse. Pray blessing upon blessing upon blessing. Show gratitude for all that God has done. I have been determined and have been working hard this week to remember. To remember all that God has done in my life. To remember all that this church has done for me, for which I am grateful. It was 20 years ago. 20 years ago, this February, 2024. We came to Beverly Heights Church, my wife and I, and my one-month-old daughter, Hannah, 20 years ago. 20 years ago, I came with khaki pants that had a hole in it and white socks and not a blazer to wear in the pulpit. 20 years, I came here with nothing, with very little skill but desire and perhaps a measure of potential, and this congregation took a chance on me. This congregation said, we welcome you. This congregation allowed me to preach awful sermon after awful sermon after awful sermon as I was trying to get my feet underneath me and to rightly handle the Word of God in order that I might at some point in my ministry say something coherent and to share with you the truth of God. You have loved me. You have loved my family. You have given to us in abundance. You have showered us with opportunity, and I am grateful. No bitterness. No bitterness. Only gratitude. For Jesus said, abide in me. Abide in my love. Grow in grace and gratitude in order that you might have fruit that abides. That's what Jesus says to you today. Let us pray. Gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, came long ago and he offered to us grace upon grace. He gave his life for us. He taught us the Word. He gave us the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And so we return our thanksgiving to you in gratitude that you've invited us to abide in you and with one another. Help us, Lord, to live into the truth of all that you have taught us. Help us to abide in your word. Help us to abide in your love. Help us to abide. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.